I've announced for a few weeks my plan for the month of November. And when I went to our associational meeting on Tuesday, this was the placemat for the meal we had, and I began to read it. Why are you here this morning? What did you come for? Dr. Tom Rainer, who you know as the author of I Am a Church Member and who is our Lifeway director, sent out an inquiry on social media asking churches about memorable church meetings. Here is his top 10. This is where we are. Church had a prolonged business meeting on whether or not to put a lock on their dumpster. There was no resolution. Within a week, somebody put a dead body in the dumpster. The church voted overwhelmingly and immediately to put a lock on it. Number two, I'm not surprised this meeting was contentious. This type of meeting is emotional and far-reaching. They were talking about changing the church's name. And someone said, but how will Jesus know who we are when he comes back if we change our name? Number three, a church had a two-hour business meeting discussing donuts. Number four, absentee membership. Those at church voted a person to serve in three different positions. She was not present. That'll teach her to miss business meetings. Lawnmower blades. The church had a multi-hour business meeting on what type of lawnmower blades to purchase. Multi-hour. The pastor's son. The church had a three-hour contentious discussion, mostly against the pastor. Toward the end of the meeting, the pastor looked up in the balcony to see his teenage son had sneaked in there to listen. Another donut story. This meeting was about the issue of whether or not people can eat them in the worship center. These last three take the cake. The church business meeting began at 7 o'clock and broke at midnight to be resumed the next day. The discussion was on what type of wheels to put on their bus, standard or chrome. The church voted against giving a woman a voluntary ministry position in the church, but they then voted a man to do that position on the condition that the defeated woman do the work. The final one, I think, says it all. Congregation called a business meeting for the singular purpose to vote to close the church. Due to lack of interest and not enough members showed up to have a quorum, it failed. I heard a lot of laughter, and I understand some of these things sound funny, but to me, they're not real funny. I want to take you on a journey today. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Psalms with me. As I thought about this book, I read it through several times. I'm grateful for a seminary professor that before we did a book study in seminary, we were required to read that book three times, outline it, and do a bunch of other stuff before we even started class, so we would be familiar with the book before he began to teach. I began to notice some patterns and some words. And so what I want to talk about for the next four Sundays, today I'm going to talk about seeking God. Next Sunday I'm going to talk about sensing God. The week of Thanksgiving I want to talk about serving God. And the final Sunday, sharing God. In Psalms this morning, chapter 3, verse 4, the psalmist said, I cried unto the Lord. with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Jeremiah 29 says, you shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. I cried to the Lord and he heard me. How many of us have come here this morning with a desire to seek the Lord? As we thought about it comfortably in our home, maybe around the breakfast table or getting ready or even in the car on the way, I wonder what we thought about on that journey. What was our expectations? Why are we here? A journey, as I shared with the children this morning, always involves places along the way. So allow me this morning in this first message, as we talk about seeking God, to consider the places on that journey. I believe there must be, first of all, a place of discovery. The psalmist in chapter 40 said this, I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. That place of discovery is where, first of all, we think about our condition. It's always somebody else's fault. We know that. It's always the preacher. It's always worship leader. It's always deacon. It's always a Sunday school teacher. I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like the way they do this, and I don't like the way they do that. It's always somebody else. It's never us. Listen to the psalmist. I am poor and needy. You will never make progress in your life for God till you are in that place. You and I need God. A lost man will never be saved until he first of all realizes that he is lost. As long as we feel like we're okay, as long as we can find somebody to hang our problems on and resolve that we bear no responsibility, it's their fault, not mine, God's not going to be able to do very much with us. What is my challenge? My challenge is, what can I do? If I come to this place of discovery and I'm reading the psalmist who in chapter 40 says I'm poor and needy, how do I do something about that? And here's the struggle. For years and years and years and years, the church in general has operated on the basis of reformation. What do I mean by reformation? Reformation is human effort. Here's your rules. I want you to do this and this and this and this and this. And so we force people artificially to conform to what we believe is right. Every denomination has their rules. If you're a Baptist, you have rules. If you're a Methodist, you have rules. If you're an Episcopal, you have rules. If you're a Catholic, you have rules. This is what you do to be in fellowship with God. This is what you do to be in fellowship with the church. And what we have for 2,000 years of that approach is disaster. Because the Bible knows nothing of reformation. The Bible knows about transformation. If a man's in Christ, he is a new creature. We're expecting the fruit of the Spirit out of people who cannot do that because the Spirit isn't there. Billy Graham, the great preacher of our past century, has made that statement before, that the greatest mission field we face today is sitting on the pews of our churches. There has to be a consistency between what the Bible says and what we do. And we don't get to pick and choose. What's my conclusion? I need help. I've mentioned it. Look at Psalm 40. See it in your own Bible. I want you to see this. Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I need the Lord. I do not possess the strength in myself to do and be what God wants me to do and be. That's reformation. I don't want to tell people what to do. I've never been a moral policeman. A great preacher once said, when God called me to be a fisher of men, He wanted me to fish in the pond, not clean it up. We spent a lot of effort trying to clean up the pond. That's not our job. From that place of discovery, I want to move to a place of dependency. If I need help, where am I going to get it? I cried unto the Lord. He is the answer, not the church. I remember taking a visiting evangelist once to a home to visit a hard case that I'd been trying to reach for a long time. And this guy said jokingly to the visiting preacher, if I show up, are you going to step on my toes? A lot of people like that, you know. A lot of people like hellfire and brimstone preaching. They want you to step on their toes. Now, I remember what he said. He said, no, sir, but I hope I can get a hold of your heart. I need God because He is able. God does the changing. Every year, we go through this routine on January the 1st of New Year's resolutions. This is the year. I'm going to and fill in the blank. You have every intention of doing the thing you said you were going to do. How often and how much time does it take before that is forgotten? Well, we meant well. The third thought is that God is available, and you need to hear this. Go back to that first verse again, Psalm 3:4. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and what? And He heard me. God, Creator of the universe, sovereign majesty, owner of heaven and earth, God heard me. What is man, the psalmist says, that you're mindful of him? Who am I? God's able and God's available. The third place on our journey this morning is the place of desperation. I cried to the Lord. Now, I'm thankful to the education I got in school because one of the things that stuck with me is studying word meanings. I took my concordance and I copied every place where this word cried is found in the book of Psalms. And beside each one of those in the concordance, there's a number that corresponds to a Hebrew word. And here's what I discovered. There are four different Hebrew words in Psalms that are translated by the word cried. there are some similarities and shades of difference. The similarities is the cry is based on danger, fear. The root meaning of the Hebrew words is to shriek. Well, that's a word you hadn't heard lately. To shriek. There is a sound and there's a sense of desperation in that word. For that to happen, there are three things, and I'll be done. Number one, honesty. My daddy taught me many things, but the one thing he beat into me, and it has cost me because I am sometimes far too much, you do not lie. I can deal with honesty. When people are deceptive, when people don't tell the truth, when people say one thing to me here and say something else to somebody out there, that's dishonest. And you can't get anywhere and you can't make any progress as long as people are dishonest. So before you can come to the place of the psalmist and cry to the Lord, it starts with some honesty. Who am I? There is a reasonable reason, an expectation in the Bible that if you are a child of God, if you claim to be a child of God, certain things about you are going to be so. And God is clear about that. He doesn't, it's not shades of gray here. He's very specific. How can you say you love God who you've not seen when you don't love your brother who you have seen? We say we love God and hate our brother, we're a liar. We're to be kind to one another. We're to be gracious to one another. From honesty, I move to humility. God prizes humility. Man despises humility. Of all the traits in Scripture that God zeroes in on, this idea of humility seems to be extremely important with Him. Humility is, one person once said, something that if you think you've got, you don't. Humility is sort of a subtle thing. It's an attitude. And I would add a final thought, and that's the thought of haste or urgency. And that's what I see missing today. There is no urgency. There just isn't any urgency. It's not important. It's not significant. We wait. We can do that later. There are other things. We need to do this and we need to do that. No. My prayer time has changed over the last month or so. Most of it takes place when I'm walking early in the morning by myself. Sometimes when I get to the office, if I have a moment, I pick up the thought, I'm praying for you differently. I'm praying for some of you differently than others because they're different needs. My prayer this morning, much of it is rather personal, and I'll not share all the details of it, but I said, Lord, I really don't want this just to be another day where I preach a message and we go home and I can feel comfortable that I did my job. God, I really need for you to step in today. I want you to look at chapter 34 with me in Psalms. And I want to pick it up in verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. O, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And if you'll back up to chapter 18 and verse 6. In my distress, I cried to the Lord. I cried upon the Lord. And I cried to my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place and pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds. Oh, the picture of God's response to my cry here. Take some time this week and meditate on that. It's awesome. The psalmist wrote, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. The responsibilities of a pastor are varied. These past months have been tough. We've gone through the valley of the shadow of death with folks. We have others that are in serious shape. There have been counseling sessions to try to help people with their problems. But I tell you, my desire is for you, each one of you in this room, to understand what takes place in Psalms when the psalmist said, I cried to the Lord. We are so distracted and divided by so much junk. I understand. There are things that people think are important. But in light of eternity, and in light of those things that are really important, I use Paul's statement. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Piney Grove Baptist Church, it's time to put away childish things. Cry to the Lord. This silly list a while ago, nowhere on that list do I hear anybody crying about the lack of baptism. Crying about the lack of families being put back together. Crying about God helping people whose minds are twisted and warped and who are dependent on alcohol and drugs. About children who are being neglected and abused and assaulted. And marriages that are in trouble and homes that are in disarray and all the other things I could add to that list that you don't see, generally speaking, from day to day like I do. I've grown weary of it. I hate the devil more than I've ever hated him in my life because I'm looking at what he's done and the damage that he's inflicted on people I love and care about. When's the last time you cried to the Lord? Oh God. Oh God, fill this room with your presence. Focus our eyes on our own heart in humility and honesty. Let us at least be willing in your presence, in our heart, to say, God, I don't like where I am. And know that when you do, dear God, you will answer that prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us. God, thanking you for forgiving us of our sin. All of it. Not just some of it, but all of it. We are not deserving. And yet, in mercy and grace, you've poured out your love in abundance upon each one of us. So, Lord, grow us up today. May we quit behaving like children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.